I don't know if any of you know what this picture is or not. Some of you may recognize it, but that's the Indonesian tsunami, December 26, 2004. The initial surge is over 100 feet, 230,000 people dead, $14 billion in damage. Until that time, it was the most deadly, most costly tsunami in recorded history anywhere. And until that event, a lot of us didn't even know what a tsunami was. Now, this is not the same thing. This happened 7 years later in Japan, and you all know about this one. 18,500 dead, but over $210 billion in damage with this tsunami. Now, what in the world's a tsunami got to do with gin and cotton? Nothing, really, if you think about it, but I want you to consider something. In 2004, you saw something that should have been a once-in-a-millennium event that we never thought we'd see again in our lifetime, and 7 years later, it happened again. Now, this year has been an unusually difficult year, rain-wise, for us in the South and the Southeast. Now, some of this is not even going to apply to some of you guys that live in the desert areas. But for a lot of us, this is a big deal. I took this data from where I live in the Mississippi Delta. Of course, our cotton acreage is down there, but I think you'll find it to be true across the South and the Southeast. This is the last 10 years, okay, and these are, wow, these are days with rainfall, October, November, and December for the last 10 years, okay? This year we had 39 days with rainfall during those 3 months. And if you'll look, that red line is the average over the last 10 years. So we've had, in the last 10 years, this has been the worst. Is there anything we can do about that? Am I just talking too loud? Maybe I don't even need that. I don't know. Yeah, is that better? Okay, good. So anyway, we've had the worst picking and ginning year that we've had in the last 10 years this year. But my point with the tsunami story is, yeah, it's been bad, but it can easily happen again next year or the year after or the year after that. And so rather than kick back by the fire and say, thank God this is over, and crack open a cold one and forget about it, what do we need to do? Because I'm going to tell you, we had some catastrophic situations at some gyms not far from my home where essentially we just forgot that it could rain all fall and all winter. And so I want to go over a few things with you. A lot of this is going to sound like common sense, but really we kind of forget common sense sometimes. So I just want to throw out a few things at you. But get ready and get ready now. When it happens is not the time to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it. And I know a lot of you guys are way smarter than me. That's obvious by the people that have been up here talking. A lot of you know way more about gin and cotton than I do. So these are just some suggestions, but I think they're good common sense suggestions. And this is one. I wouldn't go into next season without a written wet cotton policy. And now what do I mean about a written wet cotton policy? A written wet cotton policy is with your customers. This is an external document, okay? Now, the rain has been relentless, true enough. And we've even had some problems that were unavoidable, no matter how the cotton was handled. We've seen some situations, I've talked to several ginners and producers, where cotton was picked a little moist, probably would have been okay, but then we got maybe a freeze, and we've seen some what we assume is condensation damage all the way around the external part of the module, right under the wrap. Have any of y'all seen that happen? Yeah, I see some heads shaking. And that's a little bit of a new phenomenon, at least for us in the Southeast. So, yeah, a lot of these problems are unavoidable, but some of them are not. We've seen way, way too much of this year, at least in my part of the country. I'm sure the rest of you have too. But improper module staging is probably the cause of 80% of the problems that we've had this year, that I've seen anyway. Way too much of that. I know you can't see because I was sitting in the back. Can you see those modules back there? They may be staged correctly, but they're on the back 40. What are you going to do when you get 14 inches of rain? You can't go get those. And so, yeah, it's common sense, but we forget about all this stuff, and we need our memories jogged a little bit. We can't forget what happened this year. So you need a written wet cotton policy. It needs to be as fair as possible, but this is with your customers so they know up front what your policy is going in. Are you going to say if a module's over a certain percentage of moisture, it gets gin last? I don't know. Whatever you come up with and you think it's fair, but guys, we all know it's not fair for someone who picks irresponsibly and stages irresponsibly to get their cotton ginned before the other guy that's done a good job. So you have to figure all that stuff out internally, but it's only fair to figure it out, write it down, and share it with your customers, and make those decisions now. Now you need a wet cotton procedure. Now this is something that's internal. Sit down with your ginners, sit down with your managers, and come up with a plan and say, hey, what are we going to do next time when it happens again? Because it's coming. Make those decisions now. I got a few suggestions for you, just some stuff to think about. Find some high ground. And not just high ground, find some concrete. I mean, you think about it. We all live near an old rundown industrial facility somewhere, a shopping mall, an old airstrip or something. Heck, get on Google Earth, find you some concrete, and acquire that concrete now, and that high ground now. Go make those deals now so that when the time comes and you need to move that cotton and you don't have enough room on the yard, you know where you can go with it. Maximize what you have. Go check, go get your tape measure out yourself. Go check your fan sizes. Go check your RPMs. Go check your burners. Do all that. Get that cotton ginner's handbook out. It's not difficult to read. That's what we pay these government guys for, and they do a great job. All that information is in there. And be sure you're maximizing the drying capacity that you have right now. Check your burner sizes. The next thing is this, and in the South and Southeast, is we don't see much of this anymore, but consider a third stage of drying. Now, it doesn't have to be as big and fancy as what you got now. Go put it in the parking lot if you want to. Throw some Y valves in there. But it'll be better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. This is a big one, all right? Start early, get up to capacity, and stay there. Don't wait till there's 10,000 bales on the ground to start ginning. I mean, I haven't ginned cotton since back in the 90s, all right? But I can remember when I was a youngster in the 80s, my dad was trying to teach me how to gin cotton. He would leave me with a gin. If he pulled up on the yard and there were five or six trailers out there and the gin wasn't running, he would come unglued. Why isn't this gin running? Well, it's not enough out there. He'd say, boy, if there's cotton on this yard, crank it up and gin it. Because you never know what's going to happen. Because we all know that the one day you miss ginning cotton in September or October could take you 3 days to do in December. And you can lose every bit of money you made at the beginning of the year on the tail end of the year. So be ready when it gets time. Hit it early, get up to capacity, and stay there. Now, you're going to say, what's this got to do with anything? I'm obviously trying to sell you something, right? Well, of course I am. Why else would I be here? All right? But there's a valid point here. I want to show you a few things. Why? All right, look, you got modules here. They've been improperly staged, all right? So the brown represents the rot on the ends. Let's say it's 6 inches to a foot on each end, okay? So if you're ginning with your modules lying down, or sausage style as we like to refer to it, I wish we could come up with a better name for that, but I don't know. But so if you're ginning sausage style, we all know what happens. You're in the middle of a module, you're rocking along, bam, bam, bam. You hit that middle spot where those two edges come together, whole gin's choked up, just like that. So if you're flipping those modules over on their end, yeah, the wet cotton is still there, right? We hadn't picked it off necessarily, but we get a steady blend. We're blending the dry cotton in the middle with the more wet cotton on the ends, and so we got something we can deal with. We don't have something that's erratic going on all the time. All right, here's a module that's wet on the bottom. It was improperly staged. Am I over yet?
No, you're good.
Okay, good. So it's wet on the bottom. It was put a little water got up on it. Okay, we've seen tons of this. You guys have all seen it. All right, so what do you do with that? Because I can tell you right now, if all you're doing is picking it up and rolling it and cutting the wrap and putting it back down, it's pretty difficult to get that off of there. And, you know, it's insane how isn't it crazy? You can have a $15 million gin plant and a little water will shut that sucker down and make it look like an operation from a third world country. I mean, it really does. It just goes down to manual labor at that point. But here's what putting in a flipper can do for you, okay? This module here got wet on the bottom. Yes, this is labor intensive. No, it's not optimal. But the module's been flipped up. You'd be surprised at how easily that rotten material falls off of there. A couple of guys up there, they're throwing it off in a front end loader. And then this is what you're running, okay? Because you're not laying it down and running all that garbage through your gin. Get rid of that. Go back to this. It's a little labor intensive, but at least you are close to capacity. I mean, I've seen gins in my local area that normally run 80, 85 bales an hour, ginning 5 bales an hour. And that won't cash flow. I guarantee it won't. So it's just some things to consider. So here's what I want to do. I'm just going to run right back through this real quick because I didn't want to keep y'all long. I've talked too long most of the time. Remember, this can happen again next year. It may not, but one thing you can bank on is it is going to happen again. Do not forget that. So get ready now. Get a written wet cotton policy with your customers. Get a written wet cotton procedure in place internally. Find you some high ground. Maximize what you've got in the plant now. Consider a third stage of drying. Start early and buy you a flipper. Any questions? Comments? Nope. Y'all good? See, I got y'all out here.